This morning, thank you for coming and worshiping with us. If this is your first time, we are glad that you are here to be a part of our service this morning. Be in prayer for all those that are away. We have somebody open the gates and let some people go, and they shouldn't have got loose so fast. I mean, we're missing quite a few when I look around. So be in prayer that they'll be safe. Get back here if they're sick, whatever the issue is with them. And those that are traveling back up north, be in prayer for them that the Lord will bring them back down with us next year. And it is good to be here in the house of God. Don't forget the Soldiers of the Cross Youth Rally coming up in May. It's coming up May 19th. So if you want to be a blessing and a help, if you go by Publix or Walmart or Walgreens and they've got a buy two 12-pack of soda and get one free, and you want to give the free one away, the youth will be glad to have it. If you want to give all three away, they'll be even more glad. But if you want to help, that's one way you can help. We expect about 300 teenagers that Friday night here at the church. And that'll be a blessing, so we'll go ahead and start gathering that stuff up. And also the big bags of candy. The big bags of candy that we give away as prizes to the youth groups that come. So if you want to help, there's already a box back there by the back door. You can start bringing that, and that way they'll know how much they have to get gathered up at the end there, so we can just get ahead of the game there. Daniel's surgery has been changed. It's not tomorrow on his shoulder. His collarbone has been changed to Thursday. So be in prayer for Daniel as he has his surgery Thursday. And pray for Haley and the kids. I think it's going to move him back, coming back home now about another 8 weeks or so. So be in prayer for that situation as well. And good to see Brother Beals back here and got his arm in a sling. So good, he's doing better and he's had that carpal tunnel taken care of. All right, let's go to the Bible in John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. We're going to spend some time this morning talking about God's love in the midst of our losses. God's love in the midst of our losses. Now, we all experience times of losses, sometimes great losses. So we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. Many times the greatest of all losses is, and probably rightfully the loss of a loved one to death. And this passage that we're going to read, it's going to be a lengthy passage, so you bear with me. But I think it's necessary so we get the full context of the story here. I think every family probably here has gone through the valley of the shadow of death. And if you have not experienced that, it will come. It's appointed unto man once to die, then after this is judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27. And this passage of Scripture deals with the death of a loved one. So we're going to read from chapter 11 in the book of John, from verse 1 all the way to verse 45. So bear with me. We'll just follow along as I go, and I'll keep us up to date with what verse I'm in so you can stay right with me. As you read to yourself, I'll read aloud. Here we go. John chapter 11, verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judah again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Verse 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after he had saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever that thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that cometh to me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold now how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which had opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Verse 40. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound and foot with grave clothes, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now today, many of us may not be hurting or pained or suffering from the hurt of a lost one, of someone that's gone by the way of death. But God's love reaches us in whatever losses come our way. Now, if you think about the pain that you may be suffering, perhaps it's a job situation, maybe it's a relationship thing, maybe you've got a child that's gone astray and that's not living for God like he should or she should. Maybe it's a divorce that's taken place. Maybe you came to a point and just lost. And whatever your loss is, let me tell you something. It does not matter. God understands. I may not understand. Your wife or your husband may not understand. Your children may not understand what you're going through. Your closest friend and relative, if you've got a living mother or father today and you abide in and you confide in and you spend time talking to as confidants, they may not always understand, but I can say to you today with confidence that God understands. And when your heart is breaking, dear friend, God cares. God cares. He is very concerned when we go through losses in whatever phase of life we're in. Well, how do you know? The cross proves that. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And He looked down through time and He saw who we were, and that there'd be a point in time in our life that we would personally trust Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, and He laid down His life freely. No man take it. He told Pilate, you don't have power to do this. If I hadn't chose to lay my life down, you would not be doing it. We know from the story of the crucifixion that there was legions of angels ready at any moment's notice that He could have called. Him being God Himself could have said, hey, it's enough. But you know what He said? It is finished. He gave up the ghost. And He cares and He's concerned about us. And Jesus and His love in this passage for this grieving family is amazing to me. When you look at this passage and read it, and I appreciate your patience reading through 45 verses here this morning with me, but I felt it necessary that we could get the full picture of the context of what was going on and how it says there in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. And with the same love, dear friend, He loves you and I. And so this morning, we're going to talk about God's love in the midst of our losses. Now, what's amazing to me is that in this passage, that God's love brings Jesus to where the problem is. If you go back and you look up in chapter 10 and look at verse number 39. Chapter 10, verse 39. The Bible says there, therefore they sought again to take Him, and He escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into a place where John at first baptized, and there He abode, and many resorted unto Him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man was true, and many believed on Him there. He was in a different region, a different place, and Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus became sick and became ill. And they sent word to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He was doing some powerful ministry work in this region up there beyond the Jordan River. As you see there, it says, and many believed on Him. Kind of reminds me of the time when Philip was in a great revival. I mean, he was preaching away. People were getting saved in the book of Acts. And the Lord showed up and the Spirit caught Peter away and took him away to one man, an Ethiopian eunuch. Carried him away so that one man could hear the gospel message. And I'm telling you, whenever you're lost, whenever you suffer losses and you're troubled and your heart is aching, the love of God seems to bring Christ into the presence of where you are. And the message here we saw in verses 1 through 3 was simply, Lazarus was sick. Now again, I don't know what your trouble is today. I don't know what heartaches you're suffering today. I do know this, that it is likely that somebody here this morning is very pained and hurt in the midst of a relationship problem, whether it's a family or friend or co-worker, whatever it is. Why do you think that, Paris? Because we're human. Humans do silly things. Even church-going people tend to hurt people sometimes. And so I don't know what your situation is that way. I don't know what your situation is financially. You know, unless you come and tell me, you know, look, Pastor, I lost my job, got laid off this week. I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't have no idea. I won't be able to make my car payment next week if I don't get something right. You know, and you're having these losses. It's very possible that today somebody got laid off this week and I haven't heard about it. But I'm going to tell you, wherever you're at, whatever trouble you're in, whatever difficulty you're in, Jesus will always be there in the midst of you and in the difficult hour for you. But it may not be the time that you think He should be there. What did the Scripture say? They came, brought Him word, Lazarus, the one you love, the one that you love, he's sick. And the Bible says, and Jesus abode still in the same place 2 whole days. Jesus and God work at their time and their timetable. Not when you think it should happen. Not when you think it should be there. Now, His love causes Jesus, God's love. We're talking about God's love. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love brought Jesus into this situation in the right time. Look there in verse 4. And when Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." God's working, and He's involved in every aspect of our life. Sometimes it may not seem so. Sometimes it might seem like it's a pretty lonely route. But Jesus gave a clear promise that He'd never leave nor forsake us. Never leave nor forsake us. Listen, Jesus left heaven to come to this earth for you and I. Jesus endured the cross so that you and I could have eternal life. Today, dear friend, He offers forgiveness and He's meeting with you and I wherever we are. You know, it's an amazing thing. When somebody is in sin, and we always look at, measure up sin and measure this type of sin, this ugly sin, this difficult sin. You know, it's an amazing thing about a crackhead. If a crackhead this morning was presented with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and somebody shared the gospel with him and he or she truly understood that they had a sin problem, for the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They really understood that they needed Jesus Christ in their life and Him alone. They turned to God and said, "God, I am sorry. I've lived a sinful life. And I've transgressed your law, and I'm a sinner standing wanting in your judgment, and I accept the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior." And they pray out, confessing in their heart to God, and believing and trusting God's way of salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me." God doesn't put it on hold and say, "Time out. First, you need to go over to the rehab. First, you need to go over there and check in and get yourself detoxed. First, you need to go over there and get yourself off of crack, get you a good job, and take care of your kids and your family. First, you need to go over there and get yourself right with your wife and your mama because you've been stealing their money and buying this crack." And says, you know what Jesus says? Immediately, if they believe in faith, they are saved. He doesn't say, the prostitute that may be running up and down the road selling his or her body this very day. God doesn't say, "Listen, you've got to go and get yourself back to a place where you're seemingly kind of pure and get out of this job you're in." If they trust Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, they are saved to the uttermost. Amen. This is the love of God. The love of God meets us where we are at. And just in case that doesn't get to our understanding, because I don't believe we have any crackheads here, maybe we do. I don't believe we have any prostitutes here, maybe we do. If you're doing either one of them, listen, you need God in your life. God wouldn't be pleased with that. So I'm going to go to a passage of Scripture that we, God-fearing people, Christians, can understand. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 6, because sometimes we look at these here examples that preachers give and say, "Well, I'm surely not involved in crack and prostitution, so I'm pretty good." Proverbs chapter 6 this morning. That's the problem with us all. Many times we think we're pretty good. We're absolutely nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, dear friend. Sinners in need of salvation from God, which is a free gift. We have nothing to offer God outside of faith in Christ and allowing ourselves to be used by Him. Proverbs chapter 6, and look at verse number 16. Proverbs 6:16. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look." Well, there you go. "Preacher, I ain't never sniffed no crack, shot no crack, never bought no meth, I ain't never smoked no marijuana. Preacher, I ain't never sold my body. I ain't never even been with a prostitute." I guarantee you, we've got this one, a proud look. Oh, Lord, Brother Gawain's got quiet in here now. You know I'm telling the truth. See, we get to cataloging these things. Whoa, I'm not as bad as this here. This one here, we're kind of like that Pharisee banging on a chest. And we say, well, I'm glad I'm not like this crackhead or this prostitute. Lord, I'm in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Lord, look at me with a proud look. Well, let's read on. Maybe that one didn't get you. I'm sure this next one will. A lying tongue. So you just lied about being proud. He covered you, didn't he? And you ain't going to escape God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We always point our fingers at this one and that one and their sin and this sin and this one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God's love meets us exactly where we're at. Let's read on. And hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Wow. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven is an abomination. So this morning you may not have ever, and God help, I hope you never get trapped up in even illegal pharmaceutical addictions. I think the leading thing now amongst people is things that they get from the pharmacy, from the doctor, being addicted to, it's more addictive now amongst people than even the other addictive drugs that we can talk about. I hope you never, ever get addicted to them. I hope you never even take your first indulgence in such a sinful thing. Because listen, sin is pleasurable for a season. I hope you never, take yourself down to the point where you are participating, whether purchasing or selling your body or someone else's body for sexual pleasure. I hope it never comes to that. But dear friend, you stand just as willing if you don't have Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God wants to bring His love to you. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this earth to save sinners. To seek and to save that which is lost. And He brings the love of God to Him. And Jesus went and He met Martha and He met Mary there in Bethany. And as He was there, He brought the message of life. Lazarus just sleeps. He's just sleeping. They didn't quite understand what was going on. They did understand doctrine because she said, yes, Lord, I know in the last day He's going to rise again. Jesus was talking about then and there. Jesus came and came to them where they were hurting, where they were in difficulties. And dear friend, let me tell you something. If you're suffering loss this morning for whatever reason it is, run straight to God and fall on your face before God and accept the deliverance that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. And if you're saved, He's there to make intercession and He's our advocate there. If you're lost, He's there to receive you in salvation and make you part of His family. Secondly, I notice that God loves causes Christ to enter into our painful situation. Isn't that amazing? As we study this and we looked at, not only did Jesus come from beyond Jordan down to Bethany, He entered into their painful situation. What is verse number 35, I believe it is? What does it say? I think many of the kids know it. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Look at verse 33 back in John chapter 11. John chapter number 11. Go back to the Gospel of John. We have not a high priest who's not been touched by the same infirmities that you and I have been touched with. He's allowed himself, God, to come in and be and to endure and to partake of the sufferings and the heartaches and the pains that we go through. John chapter 11 and verse number 33. John chapter 11, verse number 33. The Bible says there, "And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came from her." Listen to what it says. "He groaned in the spirit and was troubled." When you lay on your bed at night and the tears flow from your face, when you hide off in your closet and your tears flow from your heart, and your heart is breaking, your heart is aching, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, groans and He enters into that pain and He walks us through the pain and He gets us through the difficulties and He shares with us in our heartache. This is important for us to understand. This is what He meant when He said, "I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. This is what Jesus is saying. So whatever pain and heartache and hurt that you're facing today, and nobody understands, daddy don't understand, mama don't understand, husband don't understand, grandma don't understand, grandpa don't understand, dad, mom, cousins, aunts, co-workers, they don't understand. God Himself is coming into your situation and He will endure the pain with you. Amen. And that's a God that loves you. That He would endure. But listen, verse 35, He wept. Verse 36, listen what it says. And Jesus said, then said the Jews, "Behold how He loved Him." How could they outwardly tell that? Because Jesus was hurting with Mary and Martha, and He knew the pain and suffering they were going through. The others could tell. You remember I said this, Brother Davidson, the pastor of up in Oklahoma, he said this, "Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you love." Now there's some Davis. Nobody cares how much you know. You can have 52 doctorate degrees and 6 bachelor degrees and 14 AA degrees, and if you don't care, you don't show the love of God, they care not how much you know. They could outwardly see Jesus was hurting with them. What compassion. What love. I think we have a similar command, Sister Barbara. It says, weep with those that are weeping. When's the last time you hurt with somebody else that's in your circle of influence? When's the last time when somebody else was going through difficulties, going through heartache, that you didn't try to justify your hurt over and above theirs? "Well, you know, I had a difficult day too. I stubbed my toe at work and got a hangnail. It's okay if they're about to go through divorce." Really? Let me get you this way. If you are about to head down to that road of divorce and they're about to head down that road of divorce, both of you are hurting in similar ways and both of you need God in the midst of all that. There's no justification. Which is more painful, more difficult? "Well, I got fired on a Tuesday and he got let go on a Friday." You're both without a job. It's not about justifying who's hurting more. It's about lifting up those which are hurting. Get your eyes off of self and put your eyes on the Lord and have compassion like the Lord has on others. There's no greater joy than serving others. No greater joy. So God brings the love of Jesus right to where we're at. And then He enters in right to that difficult situation with us. And then God moves in the midst of that situation to bring hope. Look at verse 39. And Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Take ye the way away the stone. That is where faith takes place. Then this, wait, Lord, it's been 4 days. He stinks by now. Lord, okay. And they rolled it away. Peter would have never walked on water unless he stuck one foot out of that boat and brought the other one right behind him. You know some of the problem with us? Why there's no hope? Jesus is there, hand out. Come. Come. Oh, Lord. This is too difficult a situation. Lord, there ain't no way you can fix this. Lord, my boss, he's not going to listen. He's not going to get. He's not going to keep me on this job. Lord, my wife is getting rid of me. Matter of fact, she probably done packed all my stuff. Lord, you can't do it, God. Lord, he stinks. Lord, you can't do this. The power of Christ overcame this grave, dear friend. And the power of Christ can come over, overcome your relationship problems, your financial problems, your heartaches, your difficulty, your children. It can overcome your spouse because God said, I even have the hearts of kings in my hand. Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. You know what's amazing? When Jesus rose from the grave, his clothes was laid up there. His grave clothes was kind of in there, already off. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes bounding out. The Bible says, hand and foot still bound, with a napkin on his face, and Jesus looks at them and says, remove them. Wow. First they had to roll away the stone, which is trusting by faith. I wonder how many times our testimony could have been the rolling away of the stone in front of a lost person who's dead in trespass and sin, who needs to be quickened and made alive. But because we won't live a testimony for Christ, we don't roll away that stone in front of him. And then Jesus says, loose him. Do you understand, dear friend, that we have no power to save anybody? Nobody. Nobody here. Nobody in the world has power to save outside of Jesus. None. But Jesus has chosen to use you and I as a testimony for him. Amen. Do you think if he rose Lazarus from the dead that he couldn't have said, ropes be undone? Yes. You think he couldn't have said, roll the stone away? He's going to roll one away in the future of this here passage. He already did in the past. We know about it. He has power. Listen, the God we serve calls a rock out in the desert to spew forth water. Yes, he did. Called quails come up and just overflow and so much that the Jewish people, the Israelites, ate so much quail that they choked and died out there in the wilderness because they weren't happy with the manna that fell every day. This is the God we serve. Jesus showed up on the scene and he brought hope. And I'm going to tell you this morning, dear friend, whatever difficulty you're going through, there's hope in Christ. I would to God I could just take a little wand or something and just, shoo, whoop, your problems are gone. Your problems are gone. I can't. And I can't sit here and tell you in good conscience that if you walk with the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, and all your might, that you will not have difficult hours in your life. Amen. But I can tell you this, with confidence, that God will get you through every last one of those difficult situations. Amen. He will either calm the storm or calm you in the midst of the storm. One way or the other, he will get you through. Our loving Lord invites us to bring all to him and respond to him when he enters into the situation Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is on her way this morning. Whatever heartache or difficult or loss you may be suffering, if you know Christ,